Chapter 16. One morning in early October, Rusty received a call from Kay Lynn, a childhood friend of Sam Hughes.
Rusty, this is Kay. I'm calling for your help. Because I'm a social worker, people think I can do something to make Sam Hughes stop drinking. I've had 3 calls this past week, and people are telling me that Sam Hughes is wearing dirty clothes with food stains down the front. He's walking down the sidewalks, drunk as a skunk.
Rusty sighed. All that's true, I'm afraid. How can I help you?
Do me a favor. Call Sam Hughes and tell him we'd like to see him. You have to go with me and give me moral support.
I'll do it. Later in the week, Rusty called Kay. It's a go for Saturday. They got to the Winter Palace about 10 in the morning and were ushered into the kitchen by a scruffy teenage boy with a greasy Elvis Presley hairdo. Sam Hughes sat at a round kitchen table, a 1/5 of bourbon and a water glass filled with ice in front of him. He wore a dingy white undershirt and pajama bottoms. With a gracious welcome and a sweep of his arm, he invited them to sit down.
"Doesn't Kay look great, Rusty? She looks even better than she did in high school."
Rusty blushed, and Kay thanked him for the compliment. Kay was a pretty woman. Tall and thin, with black hair and green eyes, she had a no-nonsense presence about her. Those who ever crossed her were sorry they did.
"That was then, and this is now," Kay said. "It's now, and we're here to talk about you."
Sam Hughes poured some bourbon over the ice.
"You look great, and you haven't mellowed at all with time. You're still scary and dictatorial."
Another sleazy-looking boy came in with an offer of coffee, and Kay and Rusty accepted. Elvis served it up, and both boys swished around pretending to clean the countertops.
"You two may leave," Sam Hughes said. "Now."
Both boys left, but it was clear they wanted to stay. Sam Hughes sipped his whiskey.
"High school, it seems so long ago and yet like yesterday. Rusty, Kay used to scare me sometimes. When we worked together on the yearbook, we were allowed to use the school car to solicit paid advertising. One day she and I signed for the car, but it turned out she had no intention of selling ads. She decided we should drive up Highway 71 to Mount Gaylor and climb that old wooden tower and said we'd be back to school in plenty of time."
He chuckled and began again the story of their high school days.
"I protested and told her to let me out immediately, but she kept driving at a high speed all the way to Mount Gaylor. She climbed the tower while I cowered in the car, feeling sure we'd both end up expelled from school or in a bad wreck."
"I don't remember that," Kay said. "Enough of the high school stuff. It's brass tacks time. You're an alcoholic, Sam Hughes. You must know that. But you can get sober, get well. You must feel like hell most of the time. You sure look like hell and smell like hell. You're already a little jaundiced."
"And remember the time—"
Kay interrupted. "You're an addict. You can't shake the booze by yourself. Let me get you some help. There are treatment centers, halfway houses, places where you can sober up and get healthy. I can help with that. Please, please let me."
"And I'll drive you anywhere you choose," Rusty said.
Sam Hughes didn't even look at Rusty.
"And that time on the band bus."
"Hush," Kay said. "Don't you want to get off this treadmill? Feel good again? Be you again? This stuff is killing you fast." Sam Hughes took a longer drink of whiskey.
"Okay," Kay said. "If you tell me you don't want to stop drinking and you intend to die like this, and soon, then I'll leave you alone."
Sam Hughes reached across the table and took Kay's hand in his.
"I haven't the least desire to stop drinking, and I intend to die like this, and soon."
Kay and Rusty said their goodbyes and left. The next time they would see him would be when they sat next to him as he lay dying on a hospital bed.